is Jay Sekulow. Another big development at the FBI.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Andrew McCabe, the number two at FBI stepping down, suggests that we have a pretty big situation on our hands. He's only the most recent person to be demoted, step down, or be reassigned after congressional or other inquiries into some of what was happening over there at FBI. You had Bruce Ohr, who was demoted twice. You had Peter Strzok, who had to be taken off the case. You have Baker, who's gone, and Rybicki also. So this is quite a collection of people. Obviously, there's something huge going on, and I think a lot of people in the media are just kind of missing this very large story.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
There are legitimate questions about whether an American's civil liberties were violated by the FISA process. We are the legislative branch of government. It is our job to conduct oversight on behalf of the American people of the executive branch in case any powers were abused and civil liberties were abused by the executive branch. So there's a very legitimate issue here as to whether or not and American civil liberties were violated in the FISA process.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey everybody, welcome to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let me update everybody. We went back on Facebook and Periscope last night, or I should say yesterday afternoon, to update everybody. We do know that the number two at the FBI, as we announced it during the broadcast yesterday, was removed from office. We don't know if that meant he was fired, resigned, but he was removed from his position evidently as executive on the executive committee and then was immediately removed from the FBI. I think he was out by yesterday afternoon at 12 o'clock. The House Intelligence Committee last night voted to make public the memo alleging that what many are calling shocking surveillance abuses at the Department of Justice. And what's interesting on this is the committee made the memo available to the entire House. And Than Bennett, our director of governmental affairs in Washington, D.C., has been monitoring who is, you know, how many people have actually read it. Because you got all these people on the left come out and saying it's not right, it's biased. But then the number of people that actually reviewed it from those left of center is, what, a dozen?
As of last night, Jay, the reports are that only a dozen Democrats in the House had reviewed it. It's been out there for about a week for them to see. And again, I think that's some of the hypocrisy here, because remember, the process has been so deliberate. The committee first authorized every member of the House to come see it. And then yesterday, Jay, every Democrat committee of the committee opposed releasing it to the public, even though the vast majority of them never bothered to read it.
So here's what's happened. The document was approved to be released. That means it went to the White House. And then the White House itself has, under the rules, and we're going to get more into how the process works so you understand what's going on here, they have up to 5 days to review it and make a determination as to releasing it. And the president wants transparency. There's no question about it, but there's a review process that goes on in the White House, and I'm sure that process is probably now fully engaged and fully underway. But we'll talk about how that rule works. Andrew McCabe is gone. There is concern that it was not just based on the Nunes memo, but also on the Inspector General's report, which is not out yet, is expected by the end of February. And it's the word on the streets are it's pretty critical of James Comey and also Andrew McCabe. So he's out. So there's a lot of moving targets right now in all of this. But the key tonight or today to understand is that the memo has been, so when you said release the memo, the vote came out of the House to release the memo. Logan?
Yep. All right. Phone lines are open right now. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110 if you want your voice heard on this. You can also join us broadcasting live. A lot of you are on Facebook and on Twitter and Periscope. Just search for Jay Sekulow, broadcasting live on all those social media outlets. Also at ACLJ.org. You can get your comments in on social media. We take some of those during the show, during the breaks. And if you put a comment in, someone on our team reads it, even if it doesn't make it on the air.
Also, James Comey issued a tweet. Special Agent Andrew McCabe stood tall for over 8 months when small people were trying to tear down an institution we all depend on. He served with distinction for 2 decades. I wish Andy well. I wish also continued strength for the rest of the FBI. No one is attacking the FBI or the FBI agents. It's those rogue agents or agents that have done things that are inappropriate. We'll talk more about that. We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We've got an email out on a lot of this issue right now. If, in fact, this is based on FISA issues, and it may well be that's the case, folks, this will be dramatic as far as impact goes. The idea that a FISA warrant was issued with the approval of Andrew McCabe and others based on a salacious, false dossier ginned up by Fusion GPS.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Welcome back to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. So here's what we have. The House Intelligence Committee last night voted to move the what's called Nunez memo to the White House. So it means it was taken over to the White House. When it was taken over to the White House, there's a process that the White House will utilize to review the memo. Sources and methods. That's what we told you yesterday in the broadcast. That's the thing everybody looks out for. You don't want a disclosure of sources and methods. And that's what the White House The White House Counsel, the White House Department's NSA, they will be reviewing that. That's not the job of the president's private lawyers. That's the job of the White House Counsel's office. So they're engaged in a review process. But the president said he wants transparency, and I see no reason why you're not going to see the document in the next within 5-day period. That's what the rules is. Next segment, we're going to get into that rule so you understand how that works. We're also taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We'll take your comments also via Facebook and Periscope. Let's go ahead, Logan, and take a phone call, and then we will take more comments as well.
All right, let's go to Marty, who's calling in Vegas on line one. Marty, welcome to the show.
Hi, Marty. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi, Jay.
Yes, sir.
Hey. Are you surprised that the press hasn't doggedly tried to find out who issued these FISA warrants? Judicial wise,
I mean, it's a judge has to sign off on a FISA warrant, but I think the press has been, all over this. I don't think this is where you could, blame the media for everybody's covering this. This is not a situation where there's skewed coverage. Everyone is, it's a big story. When the number two at the FBI is out, when there's these allegations going back and forth about potential misuse or abuse of the FISA process, that's going to concern everyone right, left, and center. And remember this, and I think this is important to understand, the FBI's engagement in a political process is a very dangerous move. And if you'll recall, I mean, it's been over a year now, a year and a half. I was very critical when James Comey made the announcement that he was closing the investigation against Hillary Clinton. I just thought he should have said nothing because he didn't even know if there was an investigation at that point. I was critical when he reopened it. I thought that was inappropriate for him to engage that. And then, of course, he closed it again. And I suspect, and again, I haven't seen it, that the Inspector General's report is going to include that entire way that whole investigation went. Because Comey took the role of Attorney General because he, in his view, the Attorney General was compromised, which I do think she was when she had the meeting with former President Bill Clinton on the tarmac 2 days before his wife was being interviewed, the Secretary of State was being interviewed by, guess who? Peter Strzok. So, again, raises a whole issue. And by the way, we're going to get into this later in the broadcast, but there was talks of a special counsel way before any special counsels were appointed. And I'll get you that, some of the text message exchanges. We'll bring that up in a moment, but that's a really good question. I do want to go up to, Logan, get some comments coming off of Facebook and Periscope. And I'm going to ask, I want a question from Than. Give me a sense, we talked about this during the break, a sense of what do you think the next move is here? Democrats are going to come out with their own version of a report or have?
Yeah, the Democrats drafted their own report, and actually House Republicans, Jay, supported making that available to the full House as well. So it's got to go through the same process. It's one step behind the Nunes memo. Once that is reviewed, I would say the committee will probably vote on releasing that as well, and the White House will look at it. One comment I will make, Jay, and you've been so right to talk about sources and methods here. Of course you want to protect proper sources and methods, but let me just throw this out there. If an unverified dossier was one of the sources, and if, I don't know, maybe an insurance plan was one of the methods, it is completely appropriate to reveal those corrupt sources and methods. So guess what? They quit happening. So not all sources and methods are created equal.
Well, look, I was going to save this for the next segment, but I'm going to give it to you now. And that is, they're in the text exchanges that are being released between Page and Strzok, and Strzok and Page. Those were the two agents that were in conversations about the president. These texts involve a discussion about an all-night meeting that ends with Page asking Peter Strzok if he talked to Andrew McCabe about the, quote, whole special counsel thing. I don't know if we have that for the screen, that email, but I'll read it. There's some redactions in this, and a redaction just means they've taken things out for security reasons, generally. That's why that's out. But at the end of it, this is Lisa Page to Peter Strzok. Hey, forgot to ask you if you mentioned the whole special counsel thing to Andy. Now, this is in a period of time way before this was May 12th of 2016. So we haven't even had the election yet. Frankly, you haven't had the conventions yet. So this is May 12th of 2016, and they're already talking about a special counsel. Now, do we know what that special counsel was? Was it for the Hillary Clinton investigation? Don't know. Was it for the investigation of this Russia collusion? That was a concern. Don't know. So I'm just saying it's out there. There's also another interesting, and we're just still seeing the beginning of these documents. They're just now being released. There is, don't ever forget this statement. And this could have played very significantly into the whole situation with Andy McKay. But, I mean, you've got same month that the FISA warrants were obtained to begin the Russia probe. This is August 15th of 2016. There's an exchange that between Strzok and Page that says, quote, I want to believe the path you threw out for consideration in Andy's office, that seems like Andy McCabe, that there's no way Trump gets elected, but I'm afraid we can't take that risk. It's like an insurance policy in the unlikely event that you die before you're 40. So all of this issue is now out in public, and I think the Inspector General has now said he also has recovered all of these text messages that were missing. So there is there's just a lot at play here. All right, we're taking your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Will, I'm talking to our producer here. Do we have some of the comments from Paul Ryan? Paul Ryan addressed this morning. I think it would be good. And Logan, you got some comments coming in as well.
Sure, yeah, there are comments coming up. Do you want to go to Paul Ryan or go to comments first?
Go to comments.
Some people are saying they're just confused a little bit on the talking points. Jack, you said it seems like the media is saying he left early for retirement. How does that kind of spin? And is that just spin? And also people are asking about, do we know anything about the person who's going to be filling that spot?
Okay. As far as McCabe made his announcement last month or earlier in January that he was going to retire in the end of March when he was entitled to his 20 years of service. Remember, he's still a special agent. He just happens to be the number two in the FBI. Then this transaction or this situation happened very subtly. There was no indication, as far as we know, that I knew, that anything was in the works on McCabe other than he was going to leave in March. And then abruptly on Monday at around 9 o'clock in the morning, news breaks that Andrew McCabe has been, quote, this is the words that were being put up in the press, removed. So that was the word they were giving, quote, removed. What have you heard, Than, in Washington on that? And removed can be removed from the executive committee, but then we found out he left the building and is gone.
Yeah, every indication, Jay, is that it was a hostile removal, that this was not Andrew McCabe's doing, that he was essentially forced out. And I don't think it takes a lot of faith to really think that when Christopher Wray saw this memo, he knew that there was no choice. And Jay, I'll just tell you this. It takes more blind faith than I have to believe that either James Rubicki or Andrew McCabe are leaving that is in no way immaterial, or that it's immaterial to this memo. It's directly applicable. They were implicated, and they're getting out ahead of it.
Well, you have three pretty big positions moving here at the FBI. You have James Rebicki. He's gone. And that was the chief of staff under James Comey. You've got the FBI's general counsel, Baker, gone as well. And then Andrew McCabe, the number two. Now, the truth is, Chris Wray's come in. He's the head of the FBI now, and he's probably putting in – not probably, I'm sure he's putting in place his own team. But a lot of this movement was in just short order here. And I think there are – again, I haven't seen the reports. We'll not see the reports until you do. And we will have a sense of what is in the Nunez report, but we'll also be getting the Inspector General's report – probably, they're saying, I think, the end of February. So there's a lot of moving parts on this right now. All right, we're taking phone calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. In the next segment of the broadcast, our senior counsel, Andy Economo, is going to be joining us. He was a former U.S. attorney. He worked for the U.S. Attorney's Office when I was at Treasury and Chief Counsel's Office at the IRS. So we're going to talk about how this process works. You need to understand what's taking place here. And why some people are saying, why, and I don't know if we're getting this, Logan, why doesn't the president just release it today?
Sure, yeah, that's obviously a comment that a lot of people are coming to.
There is a process of review where the White House has up to 5 days to review, and that's precisely the process that's being that has been implemented at the White House. And that's what they do, and they're looking again for what's called any indications of something they thought would be inappropriate, which would be sources and methods. That's what you look at, sources and methods. So when we come back from the break, Andy will be joining us. We're going to give you, we're getting granular here. We're getting into the details of this so you understand the process here. I want you to get a thorough understanding of what's at play and what's at stake and how the process moves forward. So when we come back from the break, we'll take more calls. Absolutely. We got some phone lines open, so we'll take
those. Yeah, a couple lines are open. 1-800-684-3110 if you want your voice heard as we go to break. 1-800-684-3110. Once again, 1-800-684-3110. And get your comments in as well on social media.
Also, let me encourage you to support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice, the ACLJ. We've got an email out today on some of these very significant issues that the country's facing. But we've got work going on, of course, around the globe. Also, keep in prayer. This is a prayer request that I have. Pastor Andrew Brunson's in that jail in Turkey, and it is now going on a year and 2 months, 3 months, actually. And it's difficult. Turkey's been very difficult. As a Christian pastor, American's been ministering in Turkey for 23 years, never had an issue, and got picked up in that so-called coup that was going on last July of 2016. And he's been in jail since October of 2016. And our teams here in the United States and around the globe are working for his release. But pray for him. Pray for his family as we seek to get this pastor released. You know, these cases involving international persecution take a long time to resolve. And that's exactly and precisely what we're doing. So, again, we appreciate your prayers here. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. So the House Intelligence Committee on Monday evening voted to make public the Nunez memo alleging what many have called shocking statements regarding surveillance abuses at the Department of Justice and may well be with FISA warrants. But there's a process that goes on, and I think it's very important to understand, for the American people to understand, because we're getting emails saying, why doesn't the it got delivered to the White House last night. Why doesn't he just release it? Because there's a process. So our senior counsel, Andy Economo, is here, former U.S. attorney. And Andy was at the U.S. Attorney's Office when I was at Treasury, so we both have government experience. So there's a process here, Andy, and there's actually a House rule dealing with this. So I'm going to go to you first, then to Than, to kind of explain the context of what happens
That's
here.
That's right. There is a House rule, Rule 10 of the House of Representatives, which says that the Select Committee may disclose publicly information in its possession after it has determined that that public disclosure would be served would serve the public interest. Okay. There has been a vote taken by the House Intelligence Committee to disclose that information that, of course, came to it from the executive branch of government. And then the president has 5 days. During that 5-day period, the president can look at it and make a determination whether it should be disclosed or not. If the president in writing notifies the Select Committee that he objects to the disclosure, he's got to give the reasons. And he must also certify that there is a threat to the national interest of the United States posed by the disclosure, and it's of such gravity that it outweighs any public interest in the disclosure. So if the president says no disclosure, public interest is outweighed by the threat to the national security, then if he objects to that, then by majority vote, it goes to the House of Representatives. And the whole House of Representatives can then make a determination whether or not the Select Committee's decision is to be disclosed or not. But the Select Committee may not publicly disclose that information without leave of the House.
So here's the likely scenario of what's going to happen. So then the House has done the first part, which is the committee voted to release the memo, and that has been transferred to the White House.
That's right. And they did it following this deliberate set of rules that Andy was talking about. And I would just tell everybody, you can actually pull these up. They're the House rules. It's page 15. You can see what Andy's reading here. But Jay, look, I want to reiterate this very carefully. The White House is now formally reviewing this for the first time. And this is a good thing, because we do need them to make sure that any information released doesn't compromise their sacred duty to protect Americans. So I'm as anxious to see this as anyone. But the House was very deliberate in how they voted this out. The president and his team need to make sure that they review it as well before they release it. I'm sure we're going to see some of it, Jay.
Yeah,
but
no,
they're doing process according to the rule.
Let me tell you what's going to happen at the White House here, because I think it's important to understand the process. So now it's sent over to the White House. So the White House now has a review process. Inside the White House, there's a White House counsel. White House counsel has different divisions. One of those divisions is national security. This issue involves national security, so it's likely that the White House counsel or the NSA counsel or the White House counsel and the whoever's in charge of NSA, White House counsel for the White House counsel's office, and maybe the NSA's counsel are reviewing it exactly what Than said. And they will make sure that there's no, they're going to do another scrub read through on this and another review to see if, make sure there's no sources and methods that are established here or that are let out. And that's important for national security. So Andy, let's talk briefly about, so our audience understands, what is a source and method?
The source and the method, which is what we don't want disclosed, is the way by which we obtain intelligence and information. We don't want, and we will not allow the disclosure of, and I'm sure the president would not allow the disclosure of, information that tells us how we go about gathering intelligence and information, who the sources are, where we go, where the fountains of knowledge are that obtain yep. this information. That information is not subject to public disclosure.
Yep. So, I mean, people are saying, has the president reviewed it? It will be reviewed before the president reviews it. It's going to be reviewed by the appropriate internal staffing. That's the way these process works. Here's what Catherine Herridge reported, and I think it's pretty accurate. It's worth playing on Fox News today.
Committee members are not discussing the memo's contents, but Fox News understands that it does cover the identification of American citizens who were swept up in foreign intelligence gathering operations. This is known as unmasking, as well as the Trump dossier, and to what extent it was used to secure surveillance warrants through the National Security Court or the FISA court.
Yeah, so this if the unmasking becomes the issue that I think it may here, and we see that Americans were unmasking record numbers, which we know happened by Susan Rice and Samantha Powers, this could re- Look, I mean, there is the realistic possibility that the utilization or abuse of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, the FISA courts or FISA procedures, may create its own constitutional crisis. If you had Americans being unmasked without the proper basis and proper rules and regulations being followed, listen, that will create that creates a constitutional crisis because that is the most sensitive material when Americans are surveilled, if that's the case. All right, let's take calls, 1-800-684-3110. Let's at least grab another call before the break.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go to Carl, who's calling in Chicago on line five.
Hi, Carl. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Jay. How you doing?
This Good.
Is Carl from Chicago.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to ask you a question about the Democratic memo and how did that start and what's behind it all?
Well, look, they want to put out a – I haven't seen it. Only a handful of – Democrats evidently have reviewed the Nunez memo. Let's then repeat that again. I mean, you need to understand, now maybe that changed drastically in the last 8 or 9 hours, but as of last night, was it a handful? Two handful? 12?
Yeah, about a dozen as of last night, I'm told, Jay. And just, you know, as related to the question that Carl asked about the Democrat memo, over a week ago, this committee voted to make the Nunez memo available to the full House of Representatives. Adam Schiff just drafted this additional memo this week, Jay. So look, it's going through the same process.
Yes.
And yesterday, when the committee took the vote to release that memo to the full House, guess who supported it? Devin Nunes and every Republican on the committee voted to release that Democrat memo to the full House. That is something that the Democrats on the committee did not do for the Nunes memo.
Very important point man just raised. Democrats, the Republicans said, yeah, go ahead, release the memo, release your Democratic memo. They'll go through the same process and then, you know, we'll see what it is. So, look, there's going to be narratives and counter-narratives. But let me tell you one thing that's not a narrative. The number two at the FBI was removed. Again, that's the phrase that's being used within the media reports. Whether it was based on the Inspector General's report that maybe Chris Wray saw a draft up, or whether it was based on the Nunez memo, that we don't know. But the number two at the FBI is out. And that speaks volumes in and of itself. All right, we're going to be here for another 30 minutes of this broadcast. And we're going to be taking your calls and comments. And Logan's going to let you know how you can gauge on that right now.
That's right. If you don't get the full half hour, Jace, or full hour, Jace, thank you, live. We have another half hour coming up. You can find us broadcasting live right now on social media, facebook.com/JaySekulow, Twitter and Periscope @JaySekulow, also at ACLJ.org. We archive the show later on ACLJ.org, the ACLJ app, available in the App Store, as well as the JaySekulow Live podcast. Great place where you can listen to the show later on. You can always go watch the show after it's done, also on Facebook, but we are broadcasting live and phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110.
Andy, let me ask you this quick. We got a little less than a minute here. Obviously, you got a narrative and counter-narrative that's being developed here. So there means if the Democrats are taking the time to develop a counter-narrative, there's something in the Nunez report that they're worried about the way it's going to look.
Obviously is. Otherwise, they wouldn't have spent so much time drafting the counter-narrative, and Schiff would not be out there saying the things that he's saying. So it's obvious that there are two sides to this story. I believe in full disclosure. Subject, of course, to the president's review for national security. And I understand that's what the House rules say, and I think that's a wise rule.
All right. It's going to be a lot more ahead. You don't want to miss the next 30 minutes of this broadcast. Logan told you how you can do that. Also, your support of the ACLJ is critical. ACLJ.org. ACLJ.org. Is this the last day of the month? Or are we one more day? Yeah, two more days here, so you can help us out. ACLJ.org for your support of the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. We'll be back with more of your calls and comments at 800-684-3110. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a moment.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, ACLJ.org.
the House Committee, Intelligence Select Committee on Intelligence, voted to move the memo out to the White House. The White House is now reviewing it. That's the process that we just outlined in the rules. So that's important. There's narratives and counter-narratives that are coming. The number two at the FBI is removed yesterday. And this is an interesting exchange that takes place between Chris Cuomo on CNN and former Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi. I think it's worth, at the beginning of the broadcast, kind of setting up the narratives and counter-narratives that you're going to see playing out over the next 3 days, probably.
Christopher Wray, the director of the FBI, obviously, recently selected by President Trump. He got the memo. He could have come out and said, this is reckless, don't release it.
Let me just say this with all due respect. You really don't know what you're talking about right now.
But okay. Did Christopher Wray look at it or no?
I'd say whether he did or not, but he did not. In order to redact, you have to have the people who know the
specific facts. I'm not saying redact. I'm saying if these concerns are so sharp and obvious.
Well, they've already said not to release it. The Justice Department already said it would be reckless to release it.
Yeah, there you go. So this is the internal fight that's going on right now. Now, sources and methods should not be released. Nobody disagrees with that. That's why the White House was reviewing it through a review process. And I know, Logan, we're getting a lot of people that are asking us on air and on social media.
I think some of them get jaded, and they don't know whether these things will ever materialize. And Paula asked, Jay, what is the likelihood we actually see the memo?
I think you see the memo. I think it's going to be the end of the week. There's a five-day process. I think that right now what's going on is there's a review process. And, Andy, that review process is serious. And there's, as I said earlier in the broadcast, there's the White House counsel, there's NSA counsel that are review this to make sure no sources and methods. But I believe that the president, I know the president wants transparency on this, but he's going to put it through a process. So I know there's some criticism coming in, people saying, why can't they release it last night? That's not the way the process works.
No, that's not the way the process works, and that's not the way the House rules are drafted, and so we follow what the House rules are. We're a country of laws and rules and not of whims. So here the president now, through the White House counsel's office, the appropriate section of that office, is making a determination whether the information should or shouldn't be disclosed. And he's got to give the reasons in writing personally. If it's not going to be disclosed, and if he objects to it, and he's got to certify that the threat to the national interest of the United States posed by the disclosure is of such gravity that it outweighs any public interest in the disclosure.
So there is a process in place that is being followed. So I know people are running out of patience, and the White House still got a copy last night, and did everyone go down to, deal with this? And the answer to that is that the fact of the matter is, and I think this is important, the reality is there's a process in place here, and that process is being followed. So I expect that you will see the memo towards the end of the week, Thursday or Friday. And, Dan, are you hearing anything to the contrary?
No, I think that's exactly correct. It's a process that should be followed, Jay, but let me just say this. It's already having an impact. I mean, Andrew McCabe is out at the FBI because Christopher Wray read this memo. I am absolutely convinced of it. And one other editorial point I'll make, of course the FBI doesn't want this out. It reveals the improper and political motives behind many of its agents. At least every indication is that it does. And Jay, they don't want it out. But when the current director of the FBI looked at it, what did he do immediately? He fired or, quote, removed his number two. I think that tells you how serious it is. I'm not surprised they don't want it out, but we're all going to see it.
All right. So, again, from my perspective, I think you're looking at realistically a time frame that points it towards the end of this week. That's what I expect. As the process, as the memo is being reviewed, I think that's a critical part of this, and that's what's going to happen, and that's the nature of this. And, Andy, that's also the smart thing to do, to make sure there's no sources and methods. So people don't jump to conclusions that it's not out today, that means anything. I expect you see this memo Thursday or Friday.
That's right. You got to go through the review process, and the review process is stated very clearly in the House rule, and it makes sense to do it. But I agree with you, the memo ultimately, the essence of it, the heart of it, is going to come out. And you know what? It ought to.
It should. All right. We'll be taking your calls when we come back from the break.
That's right. Phone lines are jammed right now, but they will open up 1-800-684-3110. If you're watching online, we play exclusive videos during some of the breaks. So that's coming up right after we're done talking here. So instead of just going back to the studio, we're going to play you exclusive video. It's made just for you guys each and every day by our video team. We'll be back on the air in just a few minutes.
And your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference, especially with the last 2 days of the month. You can do that at ACLJ.org. We'll be back with more, including your calls and comments when we come back from the break.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast. I'm going to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're talking about the memo, the Nunez memo, now over at the White House being reviewed. Harry, Professor Harry Hutchinson is joining us. He's our director of policy. Professor Hutchinson, what's your sense of the significance? We know it's at the White House. There'll be a review process. What's your sense of where things are?
Well, my sense is that the truth will out, and that will be seen as a direct counterpoint to the narrative that Adam Schiff, James Comey, and others have offered to the American people. Jay, my sense is that Adam Schiff is a massively talented deceiver. He's engaged in a deceptive campaign to focus wrongly on the so-called Russia collusion story, even though there is no substance to the claim. But he is a brilliant deceiver.
All right, so listen to this exchange from Morning Joe this morning with MSNBC. I mean, this is incredible. Take a listen to this.
Senator, it's John Heilman here. I want to ask you a question that under almost any other circumstances would be ridiculous and absurd, but under these circumstances I think is actually warranted. Is it possible that the Republican chairman of the House Intel Committee has been compromised by the Russians? Is it possible that they actually have a Russian agent running the House Intel Committee on the Republican side?
I hope that's not the case, and I certainly have no information to suggest that it is.
Now, did you just hear that? This is a question to a senator from an MSNBC host saying, is Devin Nunes a Russian agent? Now, this is – so whatever's in this report, it's got the left really scared because he's accused – I'm going to play – I don't do this often, but I'm going to play this again. You need to understand the nature and scope of what just transpired in that series of brief exchanges. Devin Nunes, a Russian agent. This is an allegation coming from MSNBC. Listen again.
Senator,
closely.
It's John Heilman here. I want to ask you a question that under almost any other circumstances would be ridiculous and absurd, but under these circumstances I think is actually warranted. Is it possible that the Republican chairman of the House Intel Committee has been compromised by the Russians? Is it possible that they actually have a Russian agent running the House Intel Committee on the Republican side?
I hope that's not the case, and I certainly have no information to suggest that it is.
All right, so let's go to Washington, D.C. Than Bennett, our Director of Governmental Affairs. Devin Nunes is being accused by an MSNBC host as being a Russian, quote, a Russian agent running the House Intel Committee. You talk about a Russia probe running amok. There's an example.
There's almost no words here, Jay. You have two FBI agents who have admitted to trying to impact an election or undermine the newly elected president. And what's the reaction of the mainstream media? It's that the guy who is trying to tell the American people the truth about those two agents and other corruption inside the agency, he's the Russian spy. Yeah. I mean, Jay, this is beyond any novel I've read. It's ridiculous.
No, but I want everybody to understand this. This is, you know, breaking news alert. MSNBC accuses Devin Nunes of being a Russian agent. Is it possible that he's a Russian agent? We actually have a Russian agent running the House Intel Committee? So you think this Russia inquiry is getting a little far afield? I'm going to go to Dr. Economo first on this one, former U.S. attorney.
Well, the whole idea of the Russia probe and the Russia inquiry and the Russia collusion has been proven to be nonsense. I, for one, am sick and tired of hearing about it. The election is over. President Trump won. All this nonsense about collusion needs to end once and for all. Now we've gotten to the point of saying that Congressman Nunes is a Russian agent. This is laughable.
It is, except it, you know, we're 19 people or 20 people watching that on MSNBC this morning. I mean, I don't know what the numbers are, but the fact that they said that, Harry, to me raises this issue. You know, they're not disputing the contents of the memo, okay? They're saying, well, we shouldn't sources and methods, it's putting our national security at risk. But they're not saying that the memo's contents are wrong, but they're saying, is Nunes a Russian agent?
Absolutely. So they are quite prepared to ignore the evidence right in front of their face. Why? Because they suffer from what I would call a Russia derangement syndrome. They have absolutely lost their minds with respect to their hatred of the Trump administration, so they're prepared to ignore the facts. And that is troubling for the United States going forward, because it means that the Russians have actually succeeded in sowing dissent in the United States.
What's the reaction on Capitol Hill to this allegation from John Heilman? This, they're going to say this. Oh, this was just a joke, like the secret society. Except this was on live TV, and they said it.
Yeah, I think it makes a mockery of MSNBC, and honestly, I do think there will be probably some laughing at them. But look, I think the reaction on the Republican side is, let's just put both those memos out there. I don't think they're the threat about the Adam Schiff memo. Get them out there. Let's see what the truth is. And Jay, if the FBI is relying on unverified information
unreal.
They know to be false to surveil, look, I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, or independent. We need to know that, because that has to stop.
Look, if that is the case, if we find out that in this memo there's intelligence information that shows that the unmasking and FISA warrants on Americans were issued with inappropriate or evidence or not sufficient evidence or misstatements given to federal courts, you've got a constitutional crisis in the leadership of the FBI. Now, they're taking action on that now, but and the Department of Justice. But if you had what's being alleged here, and that becomes the reality of what's happened, I mean, folks, it does raise the spectrum. When I say a constitutional crisis, you've got a collision of rights of an American citizen's hold. And then there's, of course, the rights of national security. That all comes in this. But the Constitution's not a suicide pact. But also, individual American citizens cannot be unmasked or surveilled without real documentary evidence to get the warrant in the first place, the FISA warrant. That's a Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act court issues that. Federal judge issues it. It's very, very serious. If that proves to be the situation, it would be dynamic and dramatic in context. All right, let's take another call.
All right, continuing on, let's go to Sue, who's calling in Charlotte, North Carolina, on line 5. You're on the air.
Hey, Sue.
Yes, thank you.
Sure.
My question is, do you think that Congress needs to look at additional legislation to prevent this kind of thing from ever happening again, or at least make it much harder for this thing to happen?
So they just reapproved the FISA warrants, but there's a process. If they apply the process to the FISA warrants, there's not a problem. But look, I think there's going to be a top-to-bottom review if, in fact, Andy, there is wrongdoing here. It's not just, oh, there's wrongdoing, this is bad. There has to be concrete action taken to prevent this. If this is true against American citizens, that would be pretty dramatic.
Well, I think it would. And I think one of the things that needs to be done is, in my view, is we need to tighten up these FISA warrants. I mean, I think far too many FISA warrants are being issued. I think 99% of the FISA warrants have been issued. God knows what information has been submitted to these judges for these FISA warrants to issue, and only maybe 3% have not issued. We may need to tighten up the procedure and the quantum of evidence and the affidavits and the contents of what is submitted to the judge to justify the granting of a warrant.
So obviously we're going to have more information on that as that becomes available. But if there is, Harry, this unmasking, look, we know that whole change that took place under the Obama administration just 18 days before they left office, where all of a sudden this material was given from like three different groups to 17.
Correct.
For 7 years, the Obama administration didn't want to do that. But as they were leaving and the Trump administration was coming, all those rules changed.
Absolutely. So it illustrates that statutory and constitutional safeguards are insufficient to guard against human corruption. And so what we need now is a thorough house cleaning of both the FBI and the DOJ of corrupt individuals, including Bruce Orr, who is tied directly or indirectly to the Fusion GPS controversy, which was the basis, in all likelihood, of the issuance of the FISA warrant.
And remember,
and the FISA warrant was issued, I believe, without probable cause.
Right. Which
and
is
so
you,
that
a big
violates
statement.
Yep. The Constitution. And so these commentators like John Heilman and others, they are prepared to ignore the risk to the Constitution and to the Republic in order to push a false narrative that they have conceived of months and months ago.
I'm going to tell you something. If, in fact, what Professor Hutchinson just put forward appears to, and reports are indicating that it may well be that you had FISA warrants issued without probable cause or based on phony affidavits or affidavits that were based on a fake dossier that was orchestrated by the group Fusion GPS, by Bruce Orr, the number four at the Department of Justice, wife who's working with Chris Steele at Fusion GPS. I mean, I want to go through that list with you when we come back from the break of the irregularities here. And you be the judge if you think this is appropriate. All right, we'll take more calls and comments when we come back from the break. And then, Logan, we only got a phone line open or two or one. And we'll take more comments as well.
That's right. We'll take some comments during the break. 1-800-684-3110. We do have a line open and one being screened right now. So one or two lines that are open right now if you want to get your voice heard.
You know, Will points out something also. Remember, they had to go through, the reports are that they had to get this FISA warrants that was rejected the first time. And I think that in the history of FISA warrants, I think there's only been four or five rejections. And this was one of them. So then they came back with this dossier. We got a lot more to discuss. And the seriousness of this for the American people. This affects you. It affects all of us. But John Heilman from MSNBC, is Devin Nunes a Russian agent? Is it possible that he's a Russian agent? Why didn't the senator say this is nonsense? Why are you even making statements like this? They're that desperate to change the narrative of what's happening here. But the American people aren't going to be fooled, and we're going to get to the bottom of this, and light will outshine darkness, and this is going to come out by the end of the week. That's my prediction. Back with more at 1-800-684-3110 in just a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
All right, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Last segment of the program, we're going to go to as many calls as we can. We've got our full panel here, Andy Economo, Professor Harry Hutchison, and Than Benn in our Office of Government Affairs up there in Washington, right. D.C., and Logan, of course. Let's go grab a call.
All right, let's do it. Let's go to Ann, who's been holding about 20 minutes in Grand Rapids, Michigan. You're on the air, Ann.
Hi, Ann.
Okay, the Dems have written their own song because they know their song will be sung by the majority of the media long after it's worn out its welcome. The memo is the real song. Will the media finally join in singing or not? And then I have one other question. What I'd like to know is who is writing the media song that they keep coming out with, like this morning, starting to attack our intelligence people?
Well, I mean, look, this obviously, and I haven't seen it, but obviously this memo is breathtaking in scope because it's getting this kind of reaction from those that don't want it out. And like I said, the Republicans voted to have the Democrats one released too. The Democrats did not want the Republican version out, but the Republicans said, "Yeah, let it all out." So it's all going to come out. And Andy, it's probable. I think again, we haven't seen it. We will not see it until you see it. The American people see it. That's when I'll see it. But I think that the fact of the matter is that this is going to be pretty breathtaking in scope.
It's going to be, and together with the IG report, when that comes out, and this memo. It's going to rock the foundations of the Republic, in my view, and I'm not overstating it. I'm very serious about this. The corruption in the highest echelons of the Department of Justice and the FBI during the tenure of the Obama administration and continuing, unfortunately, into the Trump administration is earth-shaking and very scary, Jay.
Yep. All right, let's
it
grab
is very scary.
Yep. And no, it is. And we're going to give you a full analysis on it as this develops. Go ahead, Logan.
All right, continuing on. A lot of people haven't hauled. For quite a while, let's go to John in Washington on line six. John, welcome.
Hey, John.
Thank you. I'm wondering something. Andrew McCabe now is gone. Are there others that are part of the culture of corruption? Are they going to feel the heat and think maybe I need to go also?
You know, I don't know the answer to that. I do know this. And when that report comes out, we'll have a lot more information. You have had Rubicki, which was the chief of staff under Comey. He's gone. Baker, the general counsel, he is gone. Now you've got Andrew McCabe. He is gone. So, Professor Hutchison, these things tend to, obviously, there's enough there that has people concerned that people are leaving like this.
Absolutely.
Or being asked to leave or removed.
Absolutely. And these individuals are leaving against a background of misleading praise. So, James Comey, who has his own problems, suggested that Andrew McCabe served with distinction for two decades. And I would like to say that James Comey, for instance, was absolutely correct. McCabe distinguished himself through impropriety and by giving the appearance of impropriety by participating in an investigation of Hillary Clinton after his wife received hundreds of thousands of dollars of campaign contributions. And in addition to that, insiders within the FBI urged his recusal, but he ignored those claims and stayed on, I believe, until a week before
yes.
the election.
I mean, I think it was Rubicki that, at least based on the text email exchanges between Strzok and Page, that said, I can't believe that Andy didn't recuse himself much in the beginning of this.
Absolutely. And so we have similar misbehavior by Comey and others. Comey used government documents to leak them to a New York Times reporter indirectly. He didn't have the courage, for instance, to send those documents directly.
People also forget, Harry, people forget that there were Democrats calling for, Harry Reid called. I mean, let's pull up for radio later this week the Harry Reid comments, the Nancy Pelosi comments about James Comey when he interfered. And I said it, when he attempted to interfere in the election.
Yeah, they weren't too crazy about him then, were they?
No. And, then they turned him to Saint James Comey when the president fires him. But their own words speak for itself there. And, I mean, again, all this is coming out. We will see where it goes. Let's grab another call.
All right. Yep, we're running out of time. Yep. Let's go to Bill in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Hey, Bill, go ahead. You're on the air.
Good day to you, sir. I appreciate your video there. I guess you enjoyed doing it too.
Thanks.
I also appreciated your
tapped-in energy to play the drums on a classic rock song. That's fun. But go ahead.
Okay. I enjoyed your book. It was very well written, informative, and documented. Actually, I want to thank you for going to the work on that.
Yep.
Now to my question. With all that's going on, with all the people that are leaving, who gets the honor or responsibility of doing the hiring for all the vacancies that'll be created?
So it depends if they're political appointees or if they're spots that had to be confirmed. People that have been confirmed can be transferred over. People that haven't been confirmed and you also have actings. And there's a hierarchy within these agencies. Fan, is there much talk about that right now with the McCabe removal?
Yeah, in the short term, Jay, it's going to be David Bowditch, who a lot of people may actually recognize from the San Bernardino investigation. He was one of the ones giving a lot of the briefings to the public. But ultimately, Jay, it doesn't have to be automatic long term. Chris Wray is responsible. And then ultimately, obviously, he answers to the president. But I think Christopher Wray would be the one that would ultimately make a long term decision here.
All right, let's grab another call. See if we can get, I don't know if we can do 3 in 3 minutes, but we're going to try.
All right, let's, we'll do our best. Let's go to Terry in Georgia. You've been all the
Terry,
longest.
Go ahead.
Terry, go ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I'm curious if there is impropriety or if the FISA was obtained illegally.
Mm-hmm.
How will that affect Flynn in the fact that he did agree not to appeal?
Well, he issued a plea, and the plea has been accepted. So whether he could – look, I don't know what General Flynn's lawyers will do or will not do. I have no clue on that. And I mean, procedurally, I guess they could seek to remove the plea, but I don't hear anything about that, Andy.
That's one of the things they could do is file a motion to withdraw the entry of the guilty plea based upon the fact that information was
obtained. But
you
also had that weird thing where the judge took the plea but then recused himself from sentencing.
Wasn't that the judge who signed the FISA warrant?
That's what they're saying.
To do with
so there's a lot more, you know. So we don't know all the what's going on behind the scenes on that one. But it's a great call. Let's grab another one, Logan.
All right, let's go to Connie actually first in Virginia on line 5.
Connie, if you could do this in 30 seconds, I'd appreciate it. Go ahead.
Yes, Jay. Are you surprised or encouraged that this memo hasn't been leaked out, considering previous leaks?
I think that I'm glad that it hasn't been leaked out. I think that there's a process that has to be put in place here, and that process now requires the White House to review it to make sure sources and methods are not disclosed. There is a process that's being implemented as we speak, where the White House or White House Counsel or the NSA Counsel will be reviewing the documentation and making a recommendation to the president. I suspect there'll be a release of the document. Again, probably Thursday or Friday is my guess within the 5-day period. But that's what I expect. I don't know that for sure. That's what I anticipate. I think we do it. Grab Joni's call, Logan.
All right, Joni, you're on the air.
Hey, Joni.
Here I am. Hey, guys. I love what you do.
Thanks.
You so much.
Sure.
Yesterday on the news, I saw Schiff say that the Republicans voted against releasing the Democratic document.
Fan Bennett, our director of governmental affairs. Answer to that question.
Because Adam Schiff tried to skip a step in the process. He tried to skip disclosing it to the full House of Representatives. He just finished the memo a couple days ago. It's got to be released to the full House. And the Republicans supported that move to release it to the full House, something Democrats opposed when the Republican memo took that step over a week ago, Jay.
All right. Multiple ways for you to engage. Those on Facebook and Periscope, stay tuned. I want to tell you something. We're going to play that song for you as well. But Logan also... let people know how they can stay engaged with us during the day.
ACLJ.org has everything you need right there. You can just go there and you can find all the links to our social media, but directly, obviously, we're on Facebook, on Twitter. Follow Jay Sekulow at Jordan Sekulow, at Logan Sekulow, Than Bennett, ACLJ. You can also subscribe to the Jay Sekulow podcast. Download the ACLJ app, available in the App Store for Apple devices, iPhone, iPad, Apple TV. It's also available in the Roku channel marketplace. And you can find everything you need again at ACLJ.org, as well as all of our app. Get our app. You should. It's great. It's fantastic.
A lot of information available. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.